Blog Talk Radio.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages or perform painful penances to commend our souls to the God of heaven or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin. And if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah 1:16-17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel 33:15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians 7:11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been for certain circumstances, he would not have done this or that for which he is reproved. After Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit, they were filled with a sense of shame and terror. At first, their only thought was how to excuse their sin and escape the dreaded sentence of death. When the Lord inquired concerning their sin, Adam replied, laying the guilt partly upon God and partly upon his companion, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The woman put the blame upon the serpent, saying, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Genesis 3:12-13. Why did you make the serpent? Why did you suffer him to come to Eden? These were the questions implied in her excuse for her sin, thus charging God with the responsibility of their fall. The spirit of self-justification originated in the father of lies, and has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. Confessions of this order are not inspired by the divine spirit and will not be acceptable to God. True repentance will lead a man to bear his guilt himself and acknowledge it without deception or hypocrisy. Like the poor publican, not lifting up so much as his eyes unto heaven, he will cry, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And those who do acknowledge their guilt will be justified, for Jesus will plead his blood in behalf of the repentant soul. The examples in God's word of genuine repentance and humiliation reveal a spirit of confession in which there is no excuse for sin or attempt at self-justification. Paul did not seek to shield himself. He paints his sin in the darkest hue, not attempting to lessen his guilt. He says, "Many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11. He does not hesitate to declare that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy 1:15. The humble and broken heart, subdued by genuine repentance, will appreciate something of the love of God and the cost of Calvary, and as a son confesses to a loving father, so will the truly penitent bring all his sins before God. And it is written, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." 1 John 1:9. End of chapter 4.
Thank you. Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters in Advent Light Pearline. Welcome to Advent Light. This is Sister Powell, who will be your host tonight. Let us have a word of prayer, and we are asking our brothers and sisters to press 1 so that we can share the goodness of God. God is so good. He is so great. So we are going to pray, and then we are going into our fellowship. Father in heaven, we want to give you thanks and praise for this privilege. We thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you have restored upon us. We thank you, dear Father, for what you have done for us, Lord. As we read Galatians 5:1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Thank you, Lord, that you have sent your son Jesus Christ on Calvary cross to die, to shed your blood for your sons and your daughter, to set us free from sin, the bondage of sin. And this evening, we just want to praise you and give you thanks. We thank you for family members. Lord, we thank you for brothers. We thank you for sisters. We thank you for our children. We thank you for this group, dear Father, who join each day to praise you and to share your love to others out there, Lord. So help us tonight and have your own sweet life and love within our hearts so that we can demonstrate your character in everything we do. We just give you all the praise that's due to you. You said we are 2 or 3 gathered together doing the things that in your will you are in the midst. And this evening, we just want to thank you, Father. Praise your name in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, again, this is Sister Powell. Welcome, everyone. And I do hope that you guys have a wonderful Sabbath that's gone and also a blessed day today. And as we join here this moment, we are a scripture passage, as I read a while ago, is Galatians 5. And I will just read this little passage, and you know, we know that we have a loving Father who free us, you know, and we saw what he has done for us. So we have a work to perform out there. He gave us a life. He gave us the way in which we can share his love to others and to draw them closer to you. As we are in the last days, brothers and sisters, we have been seeing all these things that is happening, and we know that Jesus is on the way to come. We are not setting any date, but he told us all what is going to happen. And as we read his word, you know, he said in his word, yes, stand fast, therefore. So he wants us to stand fast. Therefore, we are living in a time when if we don't be careful, brothers and sisters, we will just get ourselves, you know, in things that we should not be doing. So the Lord is asking us that we must stand fast in him. And it said here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled against the yoke of bondage. Christ died, brothers and sisters, to set us free from sin and from a long list of laws and regulations. Not free to do whatever we want, brother. Sometimes we do things that we should not, but Christ did not die on the cross for us to do whatever we want to do. He gave us certain prescription. You know, we have certain laws of what we supposed to be doing, and he wants us to be obedient, right? He asks us, Lord, he asks us to be obedient. So we just want to give thanks to Christ for the sacrifice he had made for each and every one of his sons and his daughters. So this evening, we are asking our brothers and sisters to press 1 that you can share a song, a testimony, a devotional song, a prayer, a testimony, a praise report. It is now your time. Welcome, everyone. Welcome all. all to this beautiful Sunday evening where we will be giving praise. Yes, I will just stop now, and I'm going to open the first line. 518-6450, your line is open. Can you tell your name, where you're calling from?
Good afternoon. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany.
Amen, amen.
Thank you for opening my line. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee, may I sing thy goodness through. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, either by the help of God, and I hope by the good pleasure, save we to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me closer still to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesar, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hated peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your high and holy name, O God. In my distress I cried unto you, and you heard me. Lord, preserve me from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue, heavenly Father. Lord, I put my trust in you. I believe in you, O God. I honor you. I adore you, I magnify you, and I praise you, because you is God and God alone. And whatever is my problem and my situation, oh God, I'm asking you to come nearby and to anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Lord, create in me clean heart, renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, oh God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, you are the mighty God. You are the heavenly Father. You're the burden bearer, you're the sympathizing Jesus. There's nothing you cannot do. With you, oh God, all things are possible. So, Lord, whatever the situation or whatever the problem, oh God, you know, I'm asking you to come nearby and to take full control. I put all my family before you, God, my grandchildren, my grandchildren, my brothers and sisters, all my family members, I put them before you. I'm asking you to build an edge around them, oh God, and to keep them from everything that is going on in this life, not to think about this life, because this life is no life, oh God. Heavenly Father, your coming is near. Help us to be ready, oh God. Help us to get rid of our sin and to turn to righteousness, dear God. You said in your word that if your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, oh God, and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, Lord, you will hear from heaven, and you will forgive our sin, and you will heal the land. Help us, oh God, to turn from sin and turn unto righteousness. Lord, there is nothing we can do of ourselves. We ask you, oh God, to help us to be faithful. Help us to be true, Lord. Help us to do the things that is pleasing in your eyes, oh God, so that we can go home to live with you in ceaseless ages of eternity. Be with this line, Heavenly Father, I put this prayer line into your hand with all those who partake and those silent listeners. I'm asking you, God, to be with each and every one. Whatever their situation or whatever their problem, oh God, take full control. Be with their children, their grandchildren, their brothers, their sisters, their mom and their dad, oh God. Their friends, be with all of us, friends, neighbors, co-workers, all of those who we come in contact with, dear God. Help us, Jesus, to look to you, to depend on you, Father, because you is our supplier. You is our burden bearer, oh God. Father, supply our needs according to your riches in glory. I'm asking you to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, oh God, and to open shelter for the homeless. Heavenly Father, freely you give, oh God. You are a mighty God, and there is nothing, oh God, you be told from your people who walk uprightly. So, Lord, have your way this evening. Take full control. And whatever is be done on this line, oh God, I'm asking you, Jesus, to take full control, dear God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit, I pray, and I give you thanks. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, my dear Sister Barnaby, for that devotional song, right? Come down, fountain of every blessing. And also your scripture reading and your praise, report with prayer and test. You know, everything is in one. Thank you, my dear sister, because the Lord told us that whatsoever he have presented within us, right? We have to share it. So that light that he have given unto you, my dear sister, we want to thank you that you are sharing your light by praying to the Lord, asking for help for everyone. And I know the Lord is able to do all things. So we just want to give God thanks, you know. And as what we have listened that Galatians said in 5:12, my sister, we must stand fast, therefore, in the liberty whereby Christ had made us free. We are free, and you are free tonight that you can come and sing your songs with praise and with power, and also reading the word of God. That is what the Lord said, because he said we must keep the law in our heart, and we must be obedient with his command. Right? That's what he set us free from, my sister. So I just want to thank you for sharing. And this little song that we have to, you know, depend upon Christ. We can't do nothing on our own. We came on this line night after night, but we know that is not our strength. God is the one who gave us the strength, the power, because sometimes we are dreary. Sometimes we are a little tired. But we know that we have an appointed time with the Lord. So we come to give praises unto him. And this little song, and then, you know, we are asking my brothers and sisters to press number one, you know, and just be patient. All right, sing this little one. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, we have to look upon Jesus. Look upon Jesus, sinless is he, Father imputed life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sins and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow. Cover with his light, whiter than snow. Fullness of his light, when shall I know? My life of scarlet, my sins and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow. Deep are his womb transgression as made, red are the stain, my soul is a afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee, safe from the law that now judgeth me. Covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sins and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow, longing that joy of pardon to know. Jesus, sold out, robe white as snow. Lord, we accept it, leaving my home. Gladly we wear thy pure life alone. Cover with love, life whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sins and woe, cover with his life whiter than snow. Reconciled by his death for our sin, justified by his life pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when he turn it, my Lord. Cover with his life whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet, my sins and woe. Cover with his life whiter than snow. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. We are praying and asking the Lord to cover us with his life, right? Oh, yes, God is so good. And when he covers us with his life, we will be obedient to do his will. God is so good. God is so great. 518-7. 744, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, Sister Powell, thank you for opening my line. Yes, this is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and just thanking the Lord for another day. And now, wow, what a beautiful weekend we've been having. I know Sister Powell, Sister Barnaby are all up here in the Northeast, and we've just been having some beautiful weather, which we don't always get, but thank you, Lord, for that. And also thanking him for those two beautiful songs, one by Sister Powell, one by Sister Barnaby. And I just had a scripture here, Sister, I've been contemplating for a little while, and it came to me today as I was working and thinking about what God has done to me. Actually, I was listening to a sermon about the sanctuary and what Christ has done for us with his life was typified by the sanctuary service. And in Psalm 103, the psalmist is praising the Lord. He's blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. And what are God's benefits that he gives to us? He forgives all of our iniquities. He heals all of our diseases. And as I was contemplating that, he forgives all of my iniquities. And what is iniquity? Iniquity is willful sin. It's not just any old sin. It is one that I know that I am doing, and I do it anyway. And God says that, you know, I will forgive even your iniquity. If you come to me, you ask for forgiveness, and you ask for that true repentance, which is the turning of sin from me, I will give that to you, and I will forgive all of your iniquities. Oh, what a beautiful promise that is, because all of us have sinned willfully at one time or another, and oftentimes we find ourselves saying or doing things that maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting us not to, and we do it anyway. So God says, I will forgive you if you come to me and you turn away from those sins. So just praising the Lord for us, using the Psalm, and all of the scriptures are beautiful promises, but the Psalms have many, many. And just thanking the Lord, we had a wonderful service at the Kingsbury Church this past weekend, and just thanking him for his word, his love, and even more than that, his people, the people like we find on the Advent Light prayer line. I was listening to Brother Udy on Friday night, and I wish he had been able to finish, because that was a very, very thought-provoking verses that he was discussing there, and I hope that he can continue with that maybe this next week, because I was very interested to see where he was going with that, and it was just a wonderful time. So thanking the Lord for that, and I'm hoping we get to hear Brother Akeem tonight. He is just a wonderful young man, blessed by the Lord, and thanking the Lord for my family too, Sister Paul. Just like to pray for Ashley, and I like to pray for my daughter Emily. Pray for all of my children, and you know, I still have children that are not serving God. They know that, and they just haven't found it in themselves to do that yet, and we keep praying for them. So please continue to pray for them, and I will pray for your children also, because prayer seeth great things. There is power in prayer, and God tells us that you know, if we come to him in prayer, he will hear and he will answer our prayers. So I am just thankful for that promise also, and I just wanted to say I've been praying for my brothers and sisters in the prayer line, and continue to pray for me. There's great need, and as Sister Paul, you mentioned, Jesus is coming soon. We don't have long to wait, and I want to be found ready and waiting. I don't want to be found not ready. I want to be found ready and waiting to go to God's kingdom, and I'm just looking forward to that in a wonderful way. And just thank you, Sister, for your songs. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for her song. And thank you for opening the line, Sister Powell. And God bless each one of you. Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Elder Rick, you know, for coming and for sharing. And thank you for, you know, presenting the Lord, what the Lord told you, the sanctuary, and also the scripture passage them in Psalms 103. And it brings me to when you were speaking a while ago, how we are supposed to be obedient in God's word and the promises, as we have read that it Galatians said, we must stand fast therefore in liberty, wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled against with the yoke of bondage, that even despite of what is happening, we can come here to share. And Brother Ricky has reminded us of Psalms 103, where David was giving praise, and he was also focusing on God, the good things that God was doing for him. And sometimes it is so easy for us to be complaining, even the crisis that we are in. But the Lord said, you know what, we must give thanks for everything, because he promised us, as our dear brother just reminded us of the good things in Psalm 103, you know, that he said he will, heal all our diseases. You know, that God is able to do all things. And David give us a plenty of, you know, courage and, you know, comforting word. It give us plenty for which we have to praise God for. Praise God for thanksgiving. Praise God for forgiveness. Praise God for healing. Praise God for his tender mercies, his provision, his kindness, his loving kindness. So I just want to thank you, Brother Rick. And we know that God is able to do all things. So thank you for joining and also sharing. And we are going to ask when the time for prayer, Brother Rick, if you could lead us in prayer. God is so good to each one of us. So brothers and sisters on the line, we are asking you, if you want to share, you know, this is the time, the opportunity you have to share the goodness of God by your praise report, reading a scripture, singing a song, you know, just share your love you to God. It's not us, God, and the blessings that he have given unto you. And meanwhile, brothers and sisters, we have our family, our brothers and sisters, Saint Vincent, you know, our church family, and they are going through a great crisis there. So we are asking you to pray for our brothers and our sisters there, you know, with the earthquake, and they had to move out. And it is, Lord, it is really troubling, you know. The Lord told us that these are the signs and these are the things that we're going to see happen. But, Lord, let us lift up our brothers and our sisters, Saint Vincent, you know, that the Lord will cover them, because a lot of them move out of their own, brothers and sisters, without anything, you know. They have to leave, right? So, you know, food, water, clothing. But the Lord told us that he will provide. So I'm asking us in our prayer today, this evening, let us lift up our brothers and sisters in St. Vincent. All right, I'm going to open this line. 523-635, your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, hi, good evening. This is Sister Carla calling from Tennessee. I'm just, I'm driving, so I hope you can hear me well. I'm just calling in to thank the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. Each and every day, you know, especially on the Sabbath, just a day of blessing, of learning, of sitting at his feet and, you know, coming together. We was able to go to church. Well, I've been going to church on Sabbath, different churches visiting here in Tennessee, and the church doors has been open. Some require masks.
Amen.
One or two. But some is, you know, some people come with masks and some don't. So I'm just praising the Lord to meet new brothers and sisters and be encouraged. And also yesterday we was able to see a beautiful waterfall, which is nearby to where I live. And it's, you know, just seeing God's handiwork and the things that he does and how nature, you know, is so beautiful. And I want to share Psalms 29 verse 11. It reads, "The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." So I'm encouraged with Psalms 29:11, knowing that the Lord has given us strength, and as we ask for more, he will give us more and more, you know, and he has blessed us with his peace. So I just want to hold these promises dear to my heart, and I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters, and it's such a blessing, brothers and sisters, to praise the Lord and to read and testify his goodness, and just to be encouraged by the words. People are, you know, look at TV and sports and other things for their encouragement and joy, but, you know, mine is in the word of God and just his provision for each and every one of us. Amen. Thank you again.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing and sharing and giving God thanks for all the things he has been doing and his mercies and his blessings upon you, Sister Carla. have to give God praise because I stated that, oh, this lady is so joyful. You have seen her walking and, you know, you see the peace within her. And I know it's not Sister Carla, give her that peace, that joy, you know, to be so energetic, you know, and doing God's will. So I just want to give God thanks for you, my daughter. And I just hope that, you know, the life that you live and the, how you have demonstrated it to others, that they too will come to know God. That, you know what? Because they want to know what happens, what Sister Carla have done, that she's so peaceful. What happened? Why she's so happy? How she is doing and how she's sharing and even helping others. So God is good. And you know what? The Psalms is there to comfort us, not the world, right? When the problems and the trials come, because it will come, not because we are joyful or our things is going on good. We won't say that the trials and the tribulation won't come. We know that the tribulation is going to come, but we have a loving Father, gave us all these promises, and there, and he will strengthen us so that we can reach. So God is good and God is great, brothers and sisters. So we are going to continue our little reading here in the, as we know, we are in the last days, and our topic was Galatians 5:1, right? The last day event. And if we can look back, we know that this is actually the end, right? The last day event. What is the last day event? We have seen all the things that is happening around us, brothers and sisters. And as I just mentioned about the hurricane in St. Vincent, I'm asking my brothers and sisters, let us pray, and we're going to stop now, brothers and sisters, right now. Ask Brother Rick to lead us in prayer, and we can do some prayer, more than one prayer, until our speak, and if anyone else wants to speak, but, you know, we can share. Let us lift up these people in prayer, brothers and sisters. They need us, right? If there is no other time, they need us. So we are going into a prayer, brothers and sisters. If you even pray already, let us pray, right? Okay, and we will be going into. So I'm going to open the line for Brother Rick, that Brother Rick can lead us in prayer. 518-744, your line is open.
Yes, I'm here, sister. Okay, shall we bow our head and kneel where possible, oh Lord, as we consider all that you do, all that you are, Lord. We are just in amazement that you would love us sinful creatures, Lord. Father, we come before you with praise and with thanksgiving this evening, Lord. You have given us another day, a beautiful day, Lord. You have kept us from harm, Lord. You have taken care of our health, Lord. You have given us families to love and to be loved by, Lord. And we're just so grateful for all these things, Lord, that as we consider all that you've done, Lord, we think of the price that Jesus paid for us on the cross, Lord, and the work that he is still doing in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary, Lord. He is interceding for us, Lord. He is judging those who have claimed to be his children, Lord. And Father, as we consider that, we want to be in that number, Lord. We want our sins forgiven, Lord. So please, as we are kneeling before you, Lord, as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Lord, forgive our sins, Lord. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord, as Sister Barnaby had quoted Psalm 51 just a short time ago, Lord. We want that new spirit, that new heart within us, Lord. We want that sin removed. We want those good deeds to shine forth, to point others to you, Lord, not to us, but to you as the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, as the author of salvation, as the only way to be saved, Lord. Father, tonight as we continue on, Lord, we just think of all the folks on the Advent Light prayer line. Sister Carla called in, and she was joyful for this beautiful weekend that you had and the waterfalls that some of us saw pictures of. It was just a beautiful place that she was at, Lord, and the joy that it brought her, Lord. We know that that brings joy to your heart because you made all those things for us, Lord. Father, we thank you for Sister Barnaby as she was calling in and singing your praises, Lord, and asking you to continue to watch over her and her family, Lord. Please be with them, O Father. Guide them and bless them, O Lord. And Sister Powell, who has been singing and praising you, Lord, and reading us scriptures and lifting you up high in front of all of us, Lord. Please watch over Sister Powell and her family, Lord. Do lift up her children, her grandchildren, her ministry in Jamaica and in Albany, Lord. Please watch over and bless her, Lord. Father, I think of Brother Yudi, Sister Melissa. We saw some pictures of Brother Yudi's little daughter, Elizabeth, and how she is such a beautiful little girl, Lord. You formed her in her mother's womb, and you brought her forth, Lord, to be a blessing to others and to for her to sing your praises, Lord. She probably doesn't sing yet, Lord, but she will soon. So, Lord, continue to bless Brother Yudi and Sister Melissa and their family, Lord. Lord, I remember Brother Bernard and his wife and his family, Lord. I think of Brother Akeem and his mom and dad, Lord, and Brother Akeem's ministry, which has blessed each one of us on this line so much, Lord. We do just lift them up. Father, I want to remember Brother Serge and his wife and his children, Lord. We haven't heard from him in a while, Lord, but we do know that he has been faithful to you, Lord. Please be with him, Lord. Father, we think of Sister Leola, Brother Ray, and their family, Lord. We just want to lift them up and pray that you would bless them, Lord. Sister Leola's son, Jarvis, who, Lord, he has been just coming back to you, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit would envelop him, Lord, that your holy angels would put a hedge around him, Lord, that he would be able to stay true and faithful to you, Lord, and continue to seek you and lift up your name, O Lord. Father, Sister Brenda, Brother John, we have to remember them and their children, their grandchildren, Lord, and their ministry there in Louisiana where they are, Lord. Please watch over and bless them, Lord, Father. Father, each person, I know I've forgotten somebody, Lord, but you know who they are and where they are and what they are doing, Lord. Please watch over them, Lord. Guide them. Keep them from yielding to temptation, Lord, along with us, Lord. We don't want to yield to temptation any longer. We will be tempted, but, Lord, we know that with you living in us, we don't have to yield to that. So please, Lord, take these hearts of ours, Lord. We give them to you, Lord, so that you can keep them, Lord, that you can make us into your image. Father, guide us and bless us and keep us. And, Lord, this prayer line, we want to pray for your blessing upon it, Lord. You have blessed this prayer line through these past 8 years, I believe it is now, Lord, at least 8 years. And, Father, it is still going strong, Lord, with faithful listeners. Father, pray that we would continue to be faithful in doing your work and your will, Lord. Each of our churches, each of our family members, Lord, we lift up. I lift up my daughter Ashley and my daughter Emily, Lord, and the rest of my children and my wife too, Lord. But each one of our family members, Father, we give them to you. We can't claim them as ours because you gave them to us, Lord, and they are yours. So, Lord, we're putting them in your care, and we know that you will take care of them, Lord. And help us to be faithful, Lord. A faithful witness for you, and Lord, faithful to the end, so that we can see each other on that sea of glass one day, O Lord. Guide us, Lord. Bless the speaker that will be coming on shortly, Lord. We do lift up whoever that may be, whether it's Brother Akeem or someone else, Lord. We just want to lift them up to you. Ask that your Holy Spirit would give them words, Lord, would fill their heart and their whole being, Lord, so that they will have a double portion of your Spirit. Lord, guide us now. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. And, Father, keep us as we are in these last days, Lord. The troublesome things are going on around us. And Lord, we know that you are faithful. You have promised to keep us, Lord. And Lord, we are claiming that promise right now. We are accepting that promise. We are living by faith, O Lord. Please strengthen our faith, Lord, that it may not fail on that last day. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for that prayer and praying for each one of us. I'm going to open this line for another prayer. And brothers and sisters, if you want to share, you press number one that I can open your line. But we are in a season of prayer. Please pray, brothers and sisters. Let me remember our brothers and sisters in St. Vincent. We want to thank Brother Rick. Present these requests, and Jesus is in the most sanctuary now. But he said, more prayer, more power. 587-615, your line is open.
Hello, Sister Power. Hello, brothers and sisters on this Advent Light Ministry. My name is Brother Eli. I'd like to thank God, Sister Power, because God is good. God is merciful. He is worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, I'd like to thank God because God is awesome. He's worthy to be praised. I have a prayer request, Sister Power. My prayer request tonight is to lift up my mother and prayer because my mother needs a lot of prayer at the moment. But Sister Power, don't forget to lift me up in prayer. Don't forget to pray for our brother, Sister Power. Pray for Brother Jahari, Sister Power. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer and he could come in this prayer line. Pray for him, Sister Power. Pray for Brother Jahari and he could do Bible study with Sister Stephanie. Pray for him, Sister Power, and pray for them, Sister Power. Pray for Sister Stephanie because I know she was on the prayer line on Thursday. Pray for her, Sister Power, and she could do Bible study. Study with Brother Jahari. Look for Brother Jahari in prayer because Brother Jahari needs a lot of prayer, Sister Power. He needs more prayer, more power. And Sister Power, please lift him up in prayer because you know why, Sister Power, the enemy is trying to attack him, Sister Power. The enemy is attacking him, Sister Power, like a roaring lion. But Sister Power, I'm asking you to pray for Brother Jahari. Lift up Brother Jahari in prayer. Pray for him, Sister Power, and he could come in this prayer line.
Amen.
Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Lift him up to him in prayer, Sister Power. Pray for Sister Yesenia. Is that within YESSNIA? Pray for Sister Yesenia. Pray for Sister Tatiana. Pray for all of them. Pray for Brother Isma. Pray for all of us, Sister Power. And Sister Power, God bless you on this prayer, Sister Power. Let me do a prayer to Sister Power. Sister Power, let me sing a song at this moment, Sister Power, because Brother Akeem will feel blessed when I sing that song. He is exalted, the King exalted on high. I praise him. He is exalted, the King exalted. Exalted on high, we praise his name. Oh, he is the Lord, forever he shows our way. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Let me pray for Sister Power. God, Heavenly Father, God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God, we praise your name because, God, you are good, God, you are faithful, you are worthy to be praised, God, how excellent is your name, God. God, we want to lift up Sister Power, God, who is prayer line, God. We ask the God to watch over Sister Power, God. We ask the God to give Sister Power the strength, God. We ask the God to give Sister Power. Power, Deliverance, God. We ask you, God, to break every chain for Sister Power, God. God, you are good for Sister Power, God. God, 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 we want to deliver Brother Rick, God, at this moment, God. We ask you, God, to watch over Brother Rick, God. We ask you, God, to give him the strength. We ask you, God, to give Brother Rick deliverance, God. God, at this moment, God, we want to deliver Brother Rick some daughter, God. Sister Ashley, God. God, we ask you, God, allow Sister Ashley to testimony, God, on this prayer line, God, on this Advent line ministry, God. Allow Sister Ashley, God, to testimony on Thursday, God, on this prayer line, God. God, we ask you, God, allow Sister Stephanie to praise you, God. God, allow Sister Ashley to praise you, God. God, allow Sister Ashley to come on this prayer line, God, to testimony, God. Allow Ashley, God, to testimony, God. Allow Sister Ashley to praise you, God. Allow Sister Ashley to give you thanks, God, to give you praise, because, God, you are good for Sister Ashley, God. We ask you, God, to break every chain for her, God. We ask you, God. We ask you, God, to touch her heart, God. God, touch her, Sister Ashley's heart, God. Touch her at this moment, Lord. We ask you, God, to watch over her, God. God, we want to lift her Sister Stephanie to God. We ask you, God, to watch over her, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for her, God. God, God, we want to lift her Brother O'Neill, God. We ask you, God, to give Brother O'Neill the victory. We ask you, God, to give Brother O'Neill the power, God. We ask you, God, to give Brother O'Neill deliverance, God. God, deliver him, God, at this moment, God. We ask God, we want to deliver Sister Carla, God, from Tennessee, God. We ask God to watch over Sister Carla, God. God, we ask God, allow Sister Carla to share her ministry, God. Allow Sister Carla to preach on this prayer line to God. Allow Sister Carla, God, to bring a word, God. Allow Sister Carla, God, to preach on this prayer line, God. God, we ask you, God, to give her the strength, God. God, we ask you, God, allow Sister Carla to stay strong in you, God. God, God, allow Sister Carla to preach your word, God, on this prayer line, God. God, we ask you, God, we want to lift her Sister Carla to you, God, at this moment, God. Give Sister Carla the victory, God. Give Sister Carla deliverance, God. We ask you, God, to watch over her, God. We ask you, God, to cover her, God. Cover her, God. God, while Sister Carla is driving, God, we ask you, God, to make her to drive safe, God. We ask you, God, to go home safe, God. We ask you, God, to watch over Sister Carla, God, while she's driving, God. Bless her, God, at this moment, God. Watch over Sister Carla, God. We ask you, God, to give Sister Carla deliverance, God. God, cover her, Lord. Cover her, God. Cover her, God. God, give her the victory, God. God, we want to lift up Brother Akeem James, God. Bless Brother Akeem James, God. Allow Brother Akeem James to preach the word of God, God. God, you're good for Brother Akeem James, God. You're faithful to him, God. God, we ask God, allow Brother Akeem James to bring a message of deliverance, God. Allow Brother Akeem James to bring a message, God, of deliverance, God. We ask God to watch over him, God. We ask God to bless Brother Akeem James, God. Bless him, God. Bless him, God. Bless Brother Akeem James' family, God. Bless him, God. Bless them, God. Bless Brother Akeem James' mother, God. Bless Brother Akeem James' aunt, God. Bless Brother Akeem's brothers and sisters, God. We ask to God to watch over him, God. Jesus Cristo, bendiga. Bendiga de Akeem James, Dios mío. Jesus Cristo, bendiga. Bendiga de Akeem James, Dios mío. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Dios. Gloria a Jesús. Gloria a Jesús. Bendiga de Akeem James. Bendiga de Akeem James. We ask to God to bless him, God. We ask to God to watch over him, God. Bless him, God. Bless Sister Miola, God. Watch over Sister Miola, God. Allow Sister Miola, God, to come back on this prayer line, God, to testimony, God. Bless Brother O'Neill, God. Bless everyone, God. Bless Brother Richardson, God. Bless Sister Richardson. Come bless Brother Sinceni. Bless Sister Miami. Bless them, God. We ask God to watch over them, God. Bless Sister Brenda, God. Watch over Sister Brenda, God. We want to lift up her husband to God. We want to lift up Brother John, God. We ask God to watch over Brother John. We ask God to give Brother John the strength, God. We ask God to watch over Brother John, God. God, God. We want to lift up Brother Akeem James, God, who's going to preach on this prayer line, God. We ask you, God, to cover Brother Akeem James, God, at this moment, God. Cover him, God. Cover him, God, at this moment, God. Cover Brother Akeem James, God. Give Brother Akeem James the victory, God. Allow Brother Akeem James to shout hallelujah, God. God, allow Brother Akeem James to shout hallelujah, God. God, allow Brother Akeem James to shout hallelujah, God. Because, God, you're good for Brother Akeem, God. God, you're faithful to him, God. Deliver him, God, at this moment, God. Deliver Brother Akeem James, God. Allow him, allow Brother Akeem James to give me a call, God, in this number, God. We ask God to watch over him, God. Bless him, God, at this moment, God. Bless his power, God. Bless everyone, God, in the prayer line, God. Bless everyone, God. Bless us, God, at this moment, God. We cry out to you, God. God, we want to shout hallelujah, God, because, God, you're good for us, God. Bless us, God. Watch over us, God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sister Power, pray for Brother John, because he needs a lot of prayer. Amen. Sister Power, may God bless everyone on this prayer line. May God bless Brother Akeem James, Sister Power. Sister Power, I want to encourage Brother Akeem James. God bless you, Brother Akeem James. With your ministry, Brother Akeem James, keep the faith. Because God is good for you. God is merciful for you, Brother Akeem James. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Praise him. Give him thanks. Give him thanks, Brother Akeem James. Shout hallelujah. Raise your hand and shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Because he is good for you, Brother Akeem James. God is good. God will bring everything for you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Eli, for, you know, God is good. He is great. For prayer, for each one of us, as the song said, 'tis the blessed hour of prayer. When our hearts lonely bend and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. Brothers and sisters, this is the time we hear our brother pour out, right, in prayer, you know, and this is what the Holy Spirit is doing in the life of God's children. So we want to thank our dear brother Eli for presenting us a request, prayer request for each one of us on the on Advent Light. So we thank you, Brother Eli, and sure, we will lift up these in prayer, brothers and sister. Thank you. Again, I'm going to open this line. Brothers and sister, can you share your name? 225-337, your line is open.
You want me to jump in so I can take you there?
Sister Power, I'm talking with Jarvis right now. I'm trying to help him out. So, I'm trying to help him out right quick.
Okay. All right, brothers and sisters, you know, God is so good. He's so great. All right, we're going to go into this song, and then I'm going to open Sister Barnaby, Lord, that she can do a prayer for us. Till brother or speaker is not on yet. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer when our hearts lonely bend and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to him in faith, his protection to share, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed hour of prayer. Blessed hour of prayer, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. 'Tis the blessed hour of prayer when the Savior draw near with a tender compassion his children to hear.
when he tells us we may cast at his feet every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our prayer. Blessed our prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when the tempted and the tried to the Savior who loved them their sorrow confide. With a sympathizing heart, he removes every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our prayer. Blessed our prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. At the blessed hour of prayer, trusting him we believe that the blessing we needed we'd surely receive. In the fullness of this trust, we shall lose every care. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Blessed our prayer. Blessed our prayer. What a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there. Praise the Lord. I'm going to open this line, 518-560. Can you pray for us? Please to remember the requests of Brother Eli and also the requests of those brothers and sisters in St. Vincent. Let us lift them up at this moment. We can. Your line is open. Can you tell your name and where you're calling from? And also pray for the speaker for us. 518-6450, your line is open.
Oh, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your high and holy name. Lord, we just want to thank you again for your keeping care and for your tender mercy, O God, for all the good things you have done for us, Lord. We just want to thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I put everything into your hand, dear Jesus. You know what I'm about to talk to you about, dear God. I know you will hear and answer. Father, if there's anything in me that is unlike you, remove it, oh God, so that my prayer can come up to you as sweet incense and your blessing may come down and bless each and every one. I put Brother Eli into your hand tonight with his family, oh God. His mother, his brother, his friends. And Lord, you know his prayer request, what he need. So Lord, I'm asking you to supply his need according to your riches in glory, O God. And Father, anoint him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, O God. He love you, Lord. And he like to talk to you. So Father, bless him in a special way, dear God. Be with his mom. He's always talking about his mom, dear God. I'm asking you to put a special blessing around his mom, his brother, his family. Oh, God, bless them, God. Guide them. Provide for them. Open windows of heaven for them and pour out blessing that they may not have enough room to receive it, dear Father. Heavenly Father, I put those people in St. Vincent before you, dear God. Lord Jesus, have mercy upon them according to your loving kindness, O God. Father, there's nothing you cannot do. With you all things are possible, oh God. I'm asking you to open shelter for them there, God, and provide food and clothing for them and a place for them to live. Jesus, have mercy upon them, oh God. You see their need, oh God. It is more than they can manage, oh God, and it is more than they can bear. But, Lord God, you said in your word, we must call upon you in time of trouble, and you will provide for us, oh God. You said in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in you with all our heart and lean not unto our own understanding, mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. In all our ways, we must acknowledge you, because you will direct our path. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, you said in Psalms 46, verse 1, you are refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble, dear God. Father, open ways for them, Lord. Provide for them, God. Lord, it's hard. It is more than they can manage, and it is more than they can bear, dear God. But I know you will do something for them, because you are good God, and there's nothing you cannot do, Lord. Whatever you do, it is well done, dear Father. Father, continue to bless them. Continue to guide them. Help them not to get weary, and help them not to get distress, oh God, because a better day is coming. Father, help them to look up, because you said in your word, when all these things are happening and going on, mm-hmm. we must look up, dear God, because our redemption draw at night. Father, so many things are happening over the world, everywhere. It's just trouble, just problem, God. No one need eye salves to wash them eye to see, because, Father, you are coming. Whether we believe it, yes or no, dear Jesus, plenty of us are in our comfort zone, and we are not thinking about what is happening. But, God, it's happening, oh, God, and you are coming. So, Jesus, please, Lord, help me to be ready, Father. Help me to be ready, because this sin-cursed world where there is no peace, just problem, trouble, and everything that is unlike you, dear God. Spirit of the living God, fall upon your people all over the world in diverse places, oh God. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on your people. Break us and melt us and mold us and fill us, oh God. Spirit of the living God. Father, fall upon us, Jesus. Hear our cry, dear God. Father, I put the speaker into your hand, oh God. I'm asking you to let whatever he say, he not be seen, but let your Holy Spirit take full control, Lord. And whatever he said, let it be done according to your will. Give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to do what he's doing. And do it from your throne. Lord, bless him and guide him. Protect him, be with his family. Build an edge around them, oh God, and keep them from the enemy, because the enemy is like a raving lion trying to devour your people. But, oh God, we are crying out to you, dear Jesus. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. Lord, with you all things are possible, so take full control. Let your will be done on earth, oh God, as it is in heaven. Take full control of us tonight. And Lord, whenever the meeting is over and we go to our bed, we are asking you to send your holy angel to encamp around about us, oh God. Beat back every unrighteousness and everything that is unlike you. And fill us, oh God. Mold us and fashion us into your likeness, I pray, and I give you thanks. In the name of the Father, Son, and the sweet Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, my dear sister, for presenting these various requests to our Heavenly Father. And we just want to thank everyone who joined by singing, giving their praise report, reading, and, you know, sharing, you know, and see the love and the compassion. Just as we know that we have a dear, loving Father who have his tender love and compassion for us, and we can depend upon him, we can trust him that despite of what is happening, he said we must stand fast, therefore, in liberty within Christ who has made us free. If we stand with him, right? And if we be obedient to him, we know that we will get the victory despite of all the crises. You know, he will. So tonight I just want to thank you, each one who joined, and I'm asking my brothers and sisters to get your writing pads and your pen and also your Bible to take down these reports, you know, these scripture passage, and, you know, to that we can go back over it and study it. And we just give God the praise for this opportunity that we can join in this form. So I'm going, the next voice you will hear is our dear brother, Akin. Let I offer another word of prayer. Who give thanks to the Lord, for his mercies endure it forever. We thank you for the sweet fellowship, Lord, that you have given unto us. We thank you for brothers and sisters who join here, Lord, to present their requests to you. You are so faithful. You are so just for us. We come before you, Lord, because we know we did not do anything good. But our goodness is like filthy rag, but because what our tender Father do, our loving Father do for us on that cross, we are here. And we just want to thank you. We ask you to allow us to have the character of you, filled with your sweet Holy Spirit, so that we can do your work out there to those who do not know you. We ask you to bless each one of us, that we will go out on the battlefield to present your word, Lord. And as our young man, Lord, we want to give you praise and thanks for him, Lord. He is a young man whose determination is to follow you all the way. And Lord, as he's a part of you and part of us and this group, Lord, we want to give you praises for what you have done. Bless his mother and his father and his family member and the work that he have been doing. As he present the word this evening, we ask you to cover him under your blood. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, thank you again. The 301, your line is open.
All right. Praise the Lord, and thank you for the prayer, and we will be continuing in our series of Daniel chapter 11. Today we are moving on to verse 35. We went over verses 33 and 34 last time, speaking of the persecution that took place during the Dark Ages, the 1,260-year period. And then we went on and we saw that during that time, that there were many that fell because of flatteries, people that fought against the Reformation. William Miller mentioned, we read in page 95 of his book, Evidence, he says, many men of the world would cleave to them and professedly would flatter the true people of God, that they were friendly at least to them, and that by these means, Satan carried on his wars against the children of God. So Satan sought to lead the children of God astray by flatteries. But praise God that many still stood, despite the flatteries that were placed before them, despite the bribing and all of these things of position and riches. The people of God chose, rather, to stand with the word, even if it meant the loss of their lives. And so as we continue, verse 35 tells us, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end. So we have a date there, but it is yet for a appointed time. It says, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And so as we continue in our study of God's word, let us just have a word of prayer once again. Father, illuminate our minds. Thank you for those who prayed earlier. And Lord, I pray, O God, that as we enter into the study of your word, that you would illuminate our minds and draw us closer to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So it says here, it says, and some of understanding shall fall. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, the word for understanding is translated as teachers. The same idea is presented in verse 33 of Daniel 11. Tyndale, Huss, Jerome, Latimer, are some of the well-known teachers of the gospel who seal their testimony with their blood. These were some among the many who were the teachers in Israel at that time of papal supremacy that taught the people that lost their lives as martyrs. They've sealed their testimony with their own blood. And so, friends, this was an intense time of persecution, as we've been seeing in verse 33 and also in verse 34. These men were teachers. It's the same word used in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, where it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." Right? So it says, they that be wise. In other words, those that have understanding, those who understand, they, what will happen to them? The result will be that they will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and it was the same thing during the Dark Ages, except that many of them lost their lives as well. And so this was an intense time as you look throughout the book of Daniel. Verse 10 also tells us in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10, it says, "Many shall be purified and made white and shrined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand." In other words, they cannot teach the truth because they do not have an understanding of it, but the wise shall understand. The idea is that the wise will not only understand the prophetic truth of God's word, but God will choose them as teachers. Not only will he teach them, unlock the things of truth to them, the things of the word to them, but he will also in turn make them teachers to others. And this is what the reformers were during the Dark Ages. People like Tyndale, Huss, Jerome, Latimer, these were some of the well-known teachers that in teaching the gospel, they sealed their testimony with their blood. Malachi chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3, speaking of this idea of to try them. So many will fall to test them, to try them, purge, to make them white. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi," meaning the priesthood of all believers, right, "and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Now, this was speaking of back in the days of Malachi, but friends, it is also applicable to the end of time. For notice what it speaks of. It says, "Who may abide at the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth?" So this is speaking, even though it had a connection to the first coming of Jesus Christ, it also especially has a connection to the second advent. Mount of Blessings, Thoughts on the Mount of Blessings, page 10 states, "The trials of life are God's workmen." Are you going through trials today? As we talk about the trials that the reformers faced, are you facing hardships in your own life? Are there tests that are set before you that you're experiencing currently, or that you see coming, or that you're right at the edge of coming out from? This statement states, "The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. They're hewing, squaring, and chiseling. They're burnishing and polishing process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth, prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the master bestow such careful, thorough work." That means you're not useless. "Only his precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace." So friends, rather than believing that I'm facing these tests because God has forsaken me or God doesn't care about me, rather, inspiration tells us, no, the very revelation that God cares about you is the fact that you are being chiseled. Only for his precious stones do these trials come. Only to his precious stones do these trials come. God allows these things to come to us, not because we are not his children, but rather because we are. Another statement goes as follows, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13 and verse 9. So this is a very powerful truth that we must ever keep before us, that God cares about us. And rather than trials being a sign that he doesn't care, the trials of life, especially as we are following him, are a sign that he does care. And friends, I tell you the truth, even in the trials that come to someone who is outside of Christ, they are allowed to come to him because Christ even cares for that individual. You see, it is sometimes through the trials of life that God strengthens our allegiance. It is in the hardships of life when we realize that there is no other place that we can turn, that friends, we turn to God. It is at that moment when we realize that he is all in all. And there are times when God allows these trials to come. He's not the causation. He's not the cause of them. But he allows them to come that men may find in him their refuge. Even if it is that we come to him at the last minute, he receives us as though we came to him first, because it is his desire to save. Many have memorized John chapter 3 and verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But how many have memorized the verse that follows, which says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Friends, God desires to save us. And sometimes the trials of life are the mediums whereby he brings about that salvation. One statement from Review and Herald, April 10th, 1894. It says, a refining, purifying process is going on among the people of God, and the Lord of hosts has set his hand to this work. This process is most trying to the soul, but it is necessary in order that defilement may be removed. Trials are essential in order that we may be brought close to our Heavenly Father in submission to his will, that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. We just read about that. God's work of refining and purifying the soul must go on until his servants are so humbled, so dead to self, that when called into active service, they may have an eye single to the glory of God. That's how the trial goes. It goes until the point that we are thoroughly humbled, that our minds may be single to the glory of God. Then they will not move rashly from impulse and imperil the Lord's cause, because they are slaves to temptation and passion, because they follow their carnal desires. But they will move from principle and in view of the glory of God. The Lord brings his children over the same ground again and again, increasing the pressure until perfect humility fills the mind and the character is transformed. Then they are victorious over self and in harmony with Christ and the Spirit of heaven. The purification of God's people cannot be accomplished without suffering. Consume the dross to separate the worthless from the valuable, in order that the pure metal may shine forth. He passes us from one fire to another, testing our true worth. True grace is willing to be tried. If we are loath to be searched by the Lord, in other words, if we hate trials, our condition is one of peril. God is the refiner and purifier of our souls. He places us in the heat of the furnace that the dross may be forever separated from the true gold of Christian character. Jesus watches the test. He knows just what fire of temptation and trial is needed to purify the precious metal in order that the radiance of divine love may be reflected. It is in mercy that the Lord reveals to men their hidden defects. He would have them critically examine the complicated emotions and motives of their own hearts and detect that which is wrong and modify their dispositions and refine their manners. God would have his servants become acquainted with their own hearts. Do we know ourselves? In order to bring to them a true knowledge of their condition, he permits the fire of affliction to assail them so that they may be purified. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities, infirmities, and roughness from our characters and fit them for the society of pure heavenly angels in glory. Then, as we pass through trial, as the fire of affliction kindles upon us, shall we not keep our eyes fixed upon the things that are unseen, on the eternal inheritance, the immortal life, the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory? And while we do this, the fire will not consume us, but only remove the dross, and we shall come forth seven times purified, bearing the impress of the divine. Friends, this is what God wants to do in us through the trials of life. You see, the great dilemma that God is facing, which is not a dilemma for him, but the great work that God is seeking to do in the lives of human beings, and especially those that come to him, is to separate that which he loves from that which he hates. Because that which he loves, loves another. That which he loves is in love with something else. And what does he love, or who does he love? He loves you and I. But the thing about the fallen human nature is that it is in love with sin. And so God's work, and God hates sin, so he is seeking to separate that which he loves, you and I, from that which he hates, sin, which we love so greatly. And how does he do this powerful work? How does he do this complex work? It is by not taking away our sinful flesh in this life, but it is by causing us to deny the flesh, to bring us to a point through the trials of life where we learn what brings us down, where we learn what impedes our progress towards heaven, where we learn and see clearly the things in our lives that hinders us from one day dwelling in the society of angels. And so as we see it now, we turn to him for power. We take whatever step is necessary that we might be separated from sin. And once this happens, trials then are viewed as the tool of a magnifying glass. It is viewed as the instrumentality whereby God helps us to see microscopically the very things that can separate us from him. And so this is why, contrary to our feelings, at least by principle, we must thank God for the storms that we face. Notice I said by principle and not by feeling. Because friends, I will tell you, I am the first person to tell you that I hate trials. I hate storms. I hate hardships. But friends, it is as God has tried his church and his people through the ages, especially in light of the times we're reading in Daniel 11:35. It is by this method alone that he has maintained purity among his people. And it is by this method alone that he has maintained purity in the lives of individuals. As it is with maintaining purity within the church, the only way that God can do that is as he maintains purity in the lives of individual men and women. Because individual men and women comprise the corporate body of the church. And if they are not pure, then the church cannot be pure. But friends, during the time of the Dark Ages, men like the people like the Waldenses and the Albigenses, men like Luther, we were reading about Tyndale, Jerome, Huss. These men, because of the trials they faced, it drove them to God. Because they knew unless they held on to him, their souls will perish in the crisis. They will be overwhelmed. You remember at one point, Great Controversy actually tells us that Jerome became overwhelmed. He actually recanted his faith as he was about to be released, sitting there in prison. He realized, how can I do this? My brother John Huss died for the faith. And I know that the things that was revealed to him were true. And I helped him in seeing those things. How then can I deny these things now? And friends, finally, the waters that were overwhelming him, bringing him to the point that he denied his faith, those waters receded. God strengthened his faith. He laid hold once again of the gospel truth that he had once denied for a moment. And friends, it brought him to the point that he died a martyr's death. Friends, it is the trials of life whereby God maintains our allegiance if we are willing to turn to him in these trials. Now, the next part of the verse tells us, it says, and some of them of understanding shall fall. In other words, the teachers in Israel during the Dark Ages, God's true church during the time of the Dark Ages, many of these men lost their lives. They sealed their testimony by their blood. But through these trials that the church faced, through the persecution that the church faced, during that time, friends, they were tried and they were purged and made white. In other words, the purity was maintained. But then it says here, and this would happen, this persecution would happen, how long? Even to the time of the end. God placed his church in captivity for a time appointed, that is, until the time of the end. The book of Daniel gives two dates for the time of the end. One is actually the time of the end, and the other is the end of time. The end of the 1,260 years of 1798, and the other is the end of time, which is the end of the 2,300 years in 1844. In 1798, the period of papal supremacy ended. In 1844, the church was freed from her captivity. And this makes sense, right? Because you remember, we are told actually in inspiration that coming up to the time of 1798, papal persecution began to wane. It began to go down. And one of the reasons was because the French Revolution was rising, right? And so as this happened now, it was finally solidified that the papal rule ended in 1798, because as you remember historically, Napoleon sent in his general Berthier to take the pope captive. That pope died in captivity the next year. The papacy in 1798 lost its power, its civil power to execute its religious dogmas upon the masses. And so as it lost its power officially, what happened then was, yes, you still had the other denominations. They were still there, those other denominations that had come out of the papal system. They were there, they were growing, they were thriving, but friends, there were still aspects of papal dogmas throughout these churches, right? They were still being influenced. But then came 1844. And what happened in 1844? It began the foundation for a new movement that would seek to fully come away from papal traditions. And that movement was officially established in the very midst of the Civil War. That was the Seventh-day Adventist Church, officially established in 1863, a movement that had gone along not with men,
but had moved along in the light of truth that had been discovered by previous leaders, previous men, as they study the Word of God. And so they moved on in the light of truth, and hence God had an organized movement that he was leading on in the light of day, fuller and more truth as time would progress. All right? So there was a liberation that happened at this moment. And you remember, it was because the majority of the other churches, they comprised Babylon from 1844 backward, except for the Millerite movement. These movements comprised Babylon. Charles Fitch, in the year 1844, denounced the churches as Babylon because they had rejected the message of the Second Coming. And while proclaiming to love their fellow man, many of the southern churches, they harbored slaves. So the thing is, they were moving contrary to the Word of God. It is even told historically that they did this purposely. Many of these church leaders held slaves purposely because they actually gave them only the portions of Scripture that would lead them to think that slavery was commanded in Scripture. And so hence these atrocities went on by the fallen churches. The very same power that they had fled from, that their forefathers had fled from to this nation, friends, they took on that very same spirit of the persecuting power that their forefathers fled from. And they persecuted their fellow man, held their fellow man in slavery, and denied the message of the Second Advent, hence being denounced as Babylon. But from 1844 onward, a new movement was rising that was liberated, that would seek to be liberated from all of that, being officially established, coming up to the time of the Emancipation Proclamation. So we have this aspect that when it says even to the time of the end, it means that this persecution would last coming up to the time of 1798. And then it says, because it is yet for a time appointed. So this is speaking 1798, and then later on, the freedom, complete freedom from Babylonian captivity in 1844, when a new movement began to rise up, who did not just move with men, but took all the light of men from the previous ages as they found it in Scripture, and moved with the light instead of men. Uriah Smith says in Daniel and Revelation, page 279 and page 280, though restrained, the spirit of persecution was not destroyed. It broke whenever there was an opportunity. Especially was this the case in England. The religious state of that kingdom was fluctuating, it being sometimes under Protestant and sometimes under papal jurisdiction. According to the religion of the ruling monarch, bloody Queen Mary was a mortal enemy to the Protestant cause, and multitudes fell victim to her relentless persecutions. The conditions of affairs was to last more or less to the time of the end. The natural conclusion would be that when the time of the end should come, this power which the Church of Rome had possessed to punish heretics, which had been the cause of so much persecution, and which for a time had been restrained, would now be taken entirely away. And so this is why inspiration tells us that the time came to 1798, the papal persecutions began to wane, it began to go down. But whenever there were opportunities between the time when it began to wane and 1798, whenever an opportunity arose where the papal system can execute its religious dogmas through the civil power, it would take control, it would take that opportunity. And as it was mentioned, this was especially happening in England. Some people wonder, well, why didn't Ellen White say 1798 was the time of the end instead of 1793 when the papacy's power began to wane? The reason is because there were different forces in Europe all the way up until the time of 1798 that were persecuting in their power. They were persecuting powers using the papal dogmas and forcing them upon the people through civil laws. So this happened all the way up. Even though in different parts of Europe, the persecution was beginning to go down, there were certain parts where it was kept alive. And so it was not until 1798 when it was taken away completely that Ellen White refers to, and the Bible refers to it. This is not just inspiration as it concerns Ellen White's writings, but you remember, she's only amplifying the Word of God and what it says, making it more clear. It says the conclusion would be equally evident that this taking away of papal supremacy would mark the beginning of the period here called the time of the end. If this application is correct, the time of the end began in 1798. For then, as already noticed, the papacy was overthrown by the French and has never since been able to wield all the power it before possessed. The oppression of the church by the papacy is evidently referred to here because that is the only one, with the possible exception of Revelation 2:10, connected with a time appointed or a prophetic period. Great Controversy, page 356. Since 1798, the book of Daniel has been unsealed. Knowledge of the prophecies has increased, and many have proclaimed the solemn messages of the judgment near. And that's interesting. 1798, you look back historically, and you find out that many prophetic schools began to arise all over the United States and in different parts of the world. Testimonies to the Church, Volume 5, page 9 and 10. The attention of the people should be called to the momentous event, which is so near at hand. The signs of the time should be kept fresh before their minds. The prophetic visions of Daniel and John foretell a period of moral darkness and declension. But at the time of the end, the time in which we are now living, the vision was to speak and not lie. So you see what's happening here, right? What's happening is that we're realizing from 1798 onward, we have been living since that time, in the time of the end, and also since 1844, the end of time as well. So we're seeing this. So one of the major things to ever remember is that Daniel, this time of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 35, is showing us, is covering, these verses that we have been reading are covering the time period of the Dark Ages and how long it would last, going from 538, but it's taking us all the way to the time of the end now, which is 1798. We keep reiterating these things, and what you'll realize is the Bible keeps reiterating these things to solidify it in our minds, because many are moving away from the truths that are presented in God's Word, friends, clearly and repetitively. I now realize why God repeats and enlarges, because the thing is, he can mention something clearly once, and men will move away from it speedily. But if he repeats it time and time again, if they move away from it to have their own interpretation, then the fault will lie on them heavily. The fault will be their own if they turn away from it. You have things like, you have it even in our day as it concerns the prophecies that are to come. Clear definitions in the Word of God and in the spirit of prophecy concerning what the mark of the beast is, as it relates to it being Sunday legislated by law. Yet you have Seventh-day Adventists who are now rising up. Though this has been repeated time and time again, you have Seventh-day Adventists rising up, and now they're beginning to say that the mark of the beast is the COVID vaccine. Friends, do not take the Word of God and the spirit of prophecy and try to fit it to your own interpretation. Let the Word of God and the spirit of prophecy interpret itself. So I pray that this makes sense. And so as we look at this, we're seeing the Bible continues to repeat these things to establish it. And as we continue studying, our next verse will be verse 36, where it states, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done." So next time we'll touch on that. But with that, I pray that this made sense to each and every one of us, and how this brings us up to the time of the end. And at the time of the end is 1798. And as we look at this, we see that light began to flourish, preparing the way for the liberation of God's people from 1844 onward. And so with that, friends, I just want to let you know that we are part of a movement that was born in crisis, born in war, born in the end of time, to establish the light of previous generations, that we might walk in the light and receive even more light as we follow God and His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that this made sense, Lord. And Father, I pray that we will walk in the light, and that we will reveal that light, that we will become so acquainted with the light, like the reformers of old, we can teach about that light, that men may come to the light. And Lord, that ultimately we will come to Him who is the light of the world, Jesus. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank Brother Hakeem for that presentation. Brothers and sisters, we, as we listen, we may not understand all of it, but we are asking our brothers and sisters, let us go and study back in Daniel 11 and also Daniel 12, and also what the Lord told us about the end of time, the time at the end. And I, as Brother Akin was speaking, I just, was just checking out, and I see God messengers, and it was Daniel 11, in 36 and 38, as he described, that they are going to be gifted believers. And you know what? As some of these men, and they will stumble, right? And this would mean by falling into sin, as we have been seeing and hearing, even Adventists, believers who should know the word, just as our dear brother is presenting it now, is stating online all over that the mark of the beast is the COVID vaccine, the COVID, I know that the Lord told us that these things, but brothers and sisters, let us not be fearful, right? And lose our faith. Let us really ask the Lord to help us, as our dear brother have been timely presenting Jesus' word line by line, verse by verse. Let us ask the Lord to help us that we will understand it. Because even during this problem and trials that is going on, this is something that the Lord wants us to, have faith in Him. We are going to endure trials. We are going to endure persecution. We are going to experience these things. But the Lord said if we trust Him, as we listen, He wants us to refine us and to allow us to be as fine and as pure as the fine gold. So I just want to give God thanks for this message this evening. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters to go back and study. We may not understand everything, but there is things that we're going to understand because we saw it, that it is plain to us. And even though 1798, this date and these years, what happened, even though that the Pope was, popery, actually the deadly wound, what happened to the deadly wound? It was healed. Right now we see what that is happening at that persecution end at that time, at that period. But we saw and know that it is going to happen again because the deadly wound is gradually healing itself, and we saw what is happening. So we just want to thank God for the message and the teaching that we as the Seventh-day Adventists really have the word. Just ask the Lord to help us that the Holy Spirit will teach us the truth so that we can go out and share with others. So we want to thank you, Brother Akin, and thank our brothers and sisters for joining us. And we are asking you all to be faithful and allow us, how we have a loving Father who loves us and want to save us from sin. And we have to be obedient, brothers and sisters, because we know the test is coming up.
And as our dear brother said, it is going to be when it become law, the mark of the beast. You know, when did this Sunday become the law of the land that we have to worship? That is the Sabbath. We know that is it. So we just pray that the Lord will give us the strength to overcome. And thank you again. And we will just sing a little song here to close. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I just close off. Good night, everyone. Wow. Immortal.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, from our eyes, most perfect, most glorious, the ancient of days, almighty victorious, thy great name we pray, unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness.